Morning. Today's daf in Erchin is Hey. We're in Dalamud Beis. We are about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're picking it up where we left off yesterday with the Braisa. The Braisa on Dalamud Aleph went through a number of halachas that apply to Erchin, all based on drashos, all based on how to expand the psukim in the Torah and the phrases of the psukim. So we went through a lot of halachas yesterday by Erchin, teasing out many of the words in the pasuk itself. I've been focusing only on one pasuk. But many different halachas. Just to recap some of the halachas that we learned yesterday. So erech sasam, right? I'm just going to quickly run through the halachas we learned yesterday. Erech sasam, if a person makes a undeclared erech, meaning he doesn't identify who he's being ma'arich, so then he's going to give the minimum amount. How much is the minimum amount? So remember yesterday was a debate in the Gemara. It could be 3 shekelim, it could be 1 shekel. The erech kula velo erech evarim. So if let's say I want to give the erech of a person's thumb, that doesn't mean anything. However, let's say I choose a limb where his life is dependent upon, like his head. So then that is going to have an erech value. It has to be somebody alive, not somebody dead, and not somebody a goseis. Another halacha is that I could be marich multiple people at the same time. Another halacha is that a man is marich either another man or another woman, or a woman is marich another man or another woman. It's all going to be binding. Another halacha, it includes even menuvah mukashchin. Even though the person has no market value, but he's going to have an erech. Because erech, as we've said now numerous times, and it's only the fourth day of the Masechta, but as we said already numerous times, erech only depends on two things, your age and your gender. And so even though he does not have a market value, but he has an erech. Okay. Hey, so those...
What's the benefit of, instead of giving money directly to...
Different instruments. They're different instruments. So this is just a different...
Obviously,
there's something specific and unique to giving an erech. And if I could properly articulate it, I would. The v'haya erkach l'rabbis tumtum v'ajoganos l'damim. Okay, and so we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. The last two words in the line is v'haya erkach, and the Gemara now continues. The v'haya erkach is an inclusionary term, and includes tumtum v'ajoganos for damim. Meaning, if I say that I'm going to give not the erech, but the actual market value of tumtum v'ajoganos, so then we're going to learn now through a drasha that I'm on the hook, that I have to pay. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Market value, everything has a market value. Not everything, but anything with a market value has a market value. And of course, if I say I have to give its market value, of course I have to give it. And basically what the Gemara is trying to figure out is, what do I need a drasha for? So damim lamali kra. Why do I need a drasha for market value? Lo yehei ala demei dikla, ilo amar demei dikla milo yahiv. Look, if I say I'm going to give the market value of that tree, I'm going to give the market value of that tree. If I'm obligating myself to give market value, so of course I have to give the market value, assuming it has one. Tumtum and Androgynous has a market value, so of course I have to give it. I don't need a drusha to get me there. So I'm a Rava Lomar Shenidam Bechvodo. So the Gemara says, you're right, absolutely correct. And so what we're saying over here is as follows, is that we are not learning that if I obligate myself to give market value, I have to give market value. That point is obvious. What we're coming to learn together now is the concept of nidam bechvado. Nidam bechvado is the concept of, the concept goes like this. If I dedicate to give a person's body part that's so significant they can't live without it, so that means to say that really what I'm doing is I'm donating his full value. Right? This is the concept of nidam bechvado. And the words don't translate that well literally. He's going to be judged with his honor. So admittedly, the term itself kind of, it gets lost in translation, but it means exactly what I just said. That if I make if I obligate myself to give somebody's body part, but it's so significant he can't live without it, I got to give its whole value. Now, saka da chamina neder berkach haksiv kol sheyesh no be'erchin nidam bechodo. V'chol sheyeno be'erchin eino nidam bechodo. Now, the Gemara says like this. What the Havamina would have been is the following. You see, I might have thought that this nidam bechodo concept goes hand in hand with erchin. And that means to say that if you're subject to Erechin, you're subject to this concept of Nidam Bechvodo. But if you're not subject to Erechin, so you're not subject to Nidam Bechvodo. That's what I might have thought. And since the Tumtum and Androgynous is not in Erechin, as we've already established, so therefore there's no concept of Nidam Bechvodo by the Tumtum and Androgynous. And that's what the Drasha is coming to teach me. Okay. Amalei Abayi, the Lo Isa Be'erechin, Nidam Bechvodo. So the so Abaye says, really? Are you right about this? So the Vahatanya, we're going to now look at the following braisa. Rosh Eved Zeh Hektesh. So let's say I have an Eved Kanani and I want to I want to be Makdish him. I want to sanctify him so that he becomes property of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Eved Kanani's chattel. So if I want, I could do any kind of transaction. I could sell him or I could be Makdish him. Beis HaMikdash, of course, can turn around and then sell him. In any event, so what do I say? I say Rosh Eved Zeh Hektesh. The head of this Eved now is going to go to Hektesh. So who ve Hektesh shut from Bob? So that now means that we are now going to be partners, meaning the head belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and I, in turn, am going to own the rest of this Eved Kanani. That'll be a little bit unusual. We're going to have to try to figure out exactly how to work it out financially. But, in other words, but the point is that it's the head and only the head of the Eved that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh, I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Rosh Eved Mechor Lach Meshamnim B'nehem. If, let's say, I sell the head of the Eved Kanani, so the head is sold, and the rest remains with me. Now, obviously, you can't go that far without your head, right? You're pretty attached to your head, and so is your Eved Kanani, pretty attached to his head. So what it means is that there are going to be multiple owners of the Eved. He's going to own the head, I'm going to own the rest of the body, and again, we'll have to come out to some sort of evaluation to figure out, in other words, somebody's going to have to buy out somebody else. Okay, but anyway, but what we're seeing together very clearly over here is that we can split ownership of an Eved, even though the hektish and the transactions going on the head, which is a, to say the least, significant organ of the body. Rosh Chamor is the hektish, huva hektish, shufim bo. We're going to do the same thing with a donkey. I'm being makdish the head of the donkey. So again, head belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, rest belongs to me. Rosh Chamor machor lach, mishamim b'nehem. If I'm selling the head of the donkey, so once again, mishamim, meaning we're going to have to figure it out. Meaning, how much is the value of the head? I'll buy back the head from you. You'll buy back the rest of the body. But in other words, we now have a dual ownership of it. Okay, Rashi is a little bit bothered. In fact, he says so. He articulates. Rashi is a little bit bothered because when we say hektish, the expression is hu vehektish shut from bo, the partners. When we're talking about transaction and sale, it says mishamnim beinehem. It's the same basic idea. Why is the language of the braisa not in full agreement with each other? Rashi is bothered by that. Anyway, rosh para machor lach lo machor ela rosham. Shapara. I'm going to sell you the head of the cow. So then, the only thing that's sold is the head. Shapara, I'm sorry, Ella Rosha Shapara. Velo Ella Filo Rosh Para Hektesh, Ein La Hektesh Ella Rosha. And now when I am being Maktish, the head of a cow, so the only thing they get is only the head. V'amra Papa Daham is Davin Resha Detur Be'Beit Havcha. And the reason why is very simple, because when you go to the Beit Havcha, when you go to the butcher, when you go to the slaughterhouse, so you can ask for a head, and they'll sell you a head. Not a lot of meat on it, but they'll sell it to you. Okay, now, what comes out from all this is the following. We have gone over numerous examples of where I can dedicate or sell part of, now remember what we just discussed, an Eved, a Chamor, a Para. Now, v'ha Chamor, a Para, lesnu be'erchen. Now, it goes without saying that a donkey and a Para are not in the Parsha of Erchen. Erchen is only for humans. So now, ve'ein nidon b'chvodo. And what do you see over here? You see over here, ein nidon b'chvodo. That even though what I dedicated is a significant part of the animal, i.e. its head, we're clearly over here not going to extend it to the rest of his body. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, but let's continue in the braisa. V'letam machtish shalach eved, di'isei be'erchen, ve'ein nidon b'chvodo. Okay, but we also have the Eved Kanani that's in the braisa. And I was makdish the Eved Kanani's head, and what happened? So the head now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and the rest of the Eved belongs to me. Meaning me and the Beis HaMikdash now are partners in the Eved Kanani. Now, is an Eved Kanani in the Parsha of Erchin? Yes. Yeah, that was the first Mishnah. So, and meanwhile, we don't have the principle of Nidon Bechvodo. Even though I was makdish his head, it doesn't spread to the rest of his body. So, what are we right now? Confused. Meaning, we are saying that there's some sort of connection between Erchin and Nidon Bechvodo, and meanwhile, in this Braisa, we're all over the place. We're talking about Par and Chamor, have nothing to do with Erchin, and we don't apply the principle of Nidon Bechvodo, which we kind of like, but then we talk about Eved Kanani, and we're also not applying the principle of Nidon Bechvodo, which confuses us. Ela lo kach, lo kach, abekach mizbech, abekach bedek abayis. So the Gemara says, what we're going to have to say is the following, is that there's a fundamental distinction. And that is between Kachim Mizbech and Kachim Bedek Abayis. Now, when we talk about Erechim, well, first of all, I'm sorry. First, let me explain. Kachim Mizbech is anything that's going to be earmarked to be put onto the Mizbech, i.e. Karbanos. And Kachim Bedek Abayis is anything of value that's going to be given to the Beis HaMikdash, which in turn is just basically for its operating budget. Fundraising for the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Kachim Bedek Abayis. Now, in general, when we're talking about Erechim, so what are we talking about? We're talking about operating, right? We're talking about operating funds. Like Hedy said in the beginning of Shir today, why don't you just give the Beis HaMikdash money? Meaning, what are we doing with these vehicles and instruments of Erechin? And there's more coming up in the Masechta, Chal Ramim, right? There's so many different vehicles of how to give money to the Beis HaMikdash. Just give them money. But, and I don't have a great answer, but the point is that it's basically Bedek HaBayis. So the Gemara says, we are making this distinction. And if you take a look at the second to last Rashi on the Amud, so Elokasha Hach Brisa Dekasha Mizbech Damer Rosh Chamor O Eved Zel Dmei Ola Eini Dom Bechvodo. Ah, and this principle of Nidom Bechvodo or Eini Dom Bechvodo. So if it's something which is going to be towards the Beis Hamikdash, I'm sorry, to the Mizbeach, so we're not going to say Nidom Bechvodo. Dechiksev Nefashos Gabe Erchin Ksev Dekasha Bedek Habayis Nenu. Meaning this idea of Nidom Bechvodo is limited to Erchin, which is also linked with Bedek HaBayis, because that's what Erechin is. Erechin is money given to the Beis HaMikdash. V'chi kamin ha'anu d'nidom b'chvodo afilo tumtum sh'nedu dama b'kach Bedek HaBayis. This principle of nidom b'chvodo, it spreads out to the entire body. That's only by Bedek HaBayis. Okay, fine. That's where we are right now in the Gemara. So what the Gemara is making is a fundamental distinction between what is the purpose of me being makdashit. If I'm being makdashit for a karban, we don't say nidom bechvodo. If I'm being makdashit for Bedek HaBayis, we do say nidom bechvodo. And if you think about it just a little bit more, meaning it works out better for the Beis HaMikdash, because, look, if I want to dedicate a person's head to the Beis HaMikdash for operations, meaning for its funds, so for operating funds, so it works out better now that when I being makdashit a person's head, so I really mean his whole body, meaning because that obviously means more revenue for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. It answers this. In other words, the case of the Bryce is talking about where you're being makdashit for the purposes of a karban. Now, obviously, you're not offering the slave's head as a karban, but you're earmarking its funds for a karban. And when you're doing that, it does not spread out to the rest of the rest of his body. Now, b'mayu kim to bekachim mizbech, so the Gemara says, interesting. So you're saying kachim mizbech, right? So the Gemara says, well, in the Braisa that we just learned, you know, one of the examples was an animal, a kosher animal, a para, which can be offered as a karban. So now I'm being makdish the head of an animal for a karban. So wait one second. We're going to expose ourselves to a new idea. It's very similar to Nidom Bechvodo, but it's not the same. And that is... Pashtus Kedusha, the spreading out of Kedusha. And as we're going to learn now together, when I am sanctifying a limb of an animal, and it's a vital limb of the animal, so then the Kedusha is just simply going to spread to the rest of the animal. So you're telling me that this Bryce is talking about a scenario in which we're being makdish a para, a kosher animal. Okay, so we're not subscribing to Nidom Bechvodo because we're not talking about Bedek HaBayis? Fine. But the Kedushas Karban should spread out to the rest of the animal. So, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. El Arosha, my Tisha Kedusha Bekula, Milotanya. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Ha Omer, as we now are on the top of Hamad Aleph. Ragla Shuzu Ola Yacho Teikula Ola Tamad Lomer Kol Asher Yitain Mimenu La Hashem. So if I want to dedicate the leg of my animal as a Karbanola, obviously that's weird. The leg of an animal. Okay, but anyway, Yachote Kula Ola. I might have thought that the whole thing should be an Ola. Tamalamer Kol Asher Yitain Mimenu La Hashem Yekodesh Mimenu Kodesh Velo Kula Kodesh. So only the leg is going to have kedusha, but not the rest of the animal. Yachote Se Lechulin Tamalamer Yiyeh Behav Yasotehe. So you're going to have one of the strangest phenomena. You're going to have an animal walking around with its leg being dedicated as a carbon Ola. The rest of the animal is not going to be a carbon Ola. The obvious question: what do you do with this animal? So ha ketzad, that's the Gemara, that's the Bryson's next question. Timach letzarch eolos v'damei chulin chutz midamei oso eiver shabbat divrei Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, what you're going to be doing is as follows. You're going to look around and you're going to start marketing. I have an animal which I would like to sell as a carbon ola. Now, it's a little bit unusual circumstance. The leg is already dedicated as the carbon ola. So, in other words, anyone who would like to buy the rest of the animal and dedicate the rest of the animal as a carbon ola. Okay. Anyway, that is... No, it doesn't work.
So, why would somebody want to buy an animal?
I don't know how effective the solution is, but that's the solution. Do me a favor. Let me first get through a little bit. Okay, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Minayin la Omer, Ragla, Shozu, Ola, Shekula, Ola, Tamal, Omer, Kol, Asher, Yitem, Yemena, La, Hashem, Yeh, Kodesh. L'Rabbos is Kula. Now, the opinions of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon is that once you invest the leg with Kedushas carbon ola, it spreads throughout the rest of the animal, and the whole animal is going to be a carbon ola. V'afila man da'ame in Kula, Ola. Now, although we just experienced the machlokas on whether or not the Kedushas carbon of a leg spreads out to the rest of the animal, where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda says it does not, and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon says it does, but here's where there's not going to be any debate. But if, let's say, we're not talking about a leg, which the animal can live without, but let's say we're talking about the head. And again, head is pretty important. So now if I'm makdish the head, we have full agreement that what's going to happen is that the kedusha is going to spread out throughout the rest of the animal. And so the Gemara now is scratching its head, pun intended. Because what's happening now is that you were telling me that, well, the Braisa that we just learned together on the bottom of the previous Amud, that's not talking about Bedek HaBais, that's talking about carbon. Oh, okay. Well, what? If it's talking about carbon, one of the examples, there were three examples in the Braisa: Eved, Chamor, and Parah. I was being makdish the head of a Parah as a carbon. So you know what's going to happen? Well, we just learned together what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that the Kedushas carbon is going to spread throughout the rest of the animal. But the Braisa says that's not true. The Braisa says that the only thing that's going to retain its Kedusha is only going to be the head. That's confusing. So the Gemara says, Lokasha abekedushas haguf habekedushas damim. So the Gemara now strikes another distinction. And this one's subtle, but here in Kachin we say this all the time. There is being makdisha carbon and there's being makdisha carbon. And they're not the same. Now, when I'm being makdish a carbon, it means that I want this animal to be a carbon. Under those circumstances, this animal is obviously going to be a carbon with kedushas a gof. But let's say I bring an animal in and I say, look, you know what? I don't want to be makdish the carbon. I want its value to go to a carbon. This is what's called kedushas damim. Kedushas damim is where I'm going to be makdish a carbon, but I don't want this particular animal. I simply want the value of this animal to go towards the carbon. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that that's the case in which the Braisa is dealing with. Not Kedushas HaGuf, Kedushas Damim. What's the difference? Our discussion. In Kedushas HaGuf, when I sanctify a vital organ, there it absolutely spreads immediately to the rest of the animal. In Kedushas Damim, so then I can limit it to even vital organs, and it's not going to spread. The Gemara says, V'hamar hu damar makdish hachal adam of kadosh Kedushas HaGuf. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember, we made this statement numerous times. We're going to see this again and again throughout. We saw this back in Bechoros. We're seeing it here in Erchin. We're going to see it twice in Temura. If, let's say, I want to invest an animal with Kedushas Damim, and again, Kedushas Damim is where I want the value of this animal to go towards the carbon. And I take the entire animal and I say, this entire animal, which in of itself, this animal itself could have been brought as the carbon, and I want to invest it with Kedushas Damim. So you know what happens? Immediate upgrade. It goes from business class right to first class. And it itself is going to become a carbon. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So even when I invest an animal with Kedushas Damim, you see what's going to happen? It's going to go immediately upgrade to Kedushas Aguf, and it's going to be a carbon. So the Gemara says, you're right, but lokasha, but that doesn't bother me because had the ikdish kulo, had the ikdish chadever. If I'm being makdish an entire animal, which it itself could be used as a carbon with Kedushas Damim, so immediately upgrades to Kedushas Aguf. You're right on that part. But here's what we're discussing, and it's not the same. And that is, I'm makdish just a limb. And even if it's a vital organ, even if it's the head, here we will not say that the Kedusha will spread out to the rest of the animal and it's going to upgrade. And why not? Because, and Rashi says it very simply, that's two steps. Meaning, consider. When I'm being makdish the head of an animal, even it's an animal that's eligible to be brought as a carbon. When I'm being makdish an animal, the head of an animal, so in order for it to become a carbon, two things have to happen. One, the kedusha has to spread out the rest of the body. Two, it then has to convert from being damim to kedushas aguf. That's two steps. One step is acceptable. Two steps is just simply unacceptable. So that's what the Bryce is dealing with. So chad ever nami ibai, let's just read the next part of the Gemara. Chad ever nami ibai ibailan. So the Gemara says, you know, we asked this question to buy Rabba. Rabba asked the following question. So if I'm being makdish to the limb of an animal, what becomes of that? Ki by lam betam. So the Gemara says, okay, what he was asking was an unblemished animal. So the Gemara says, but we're talking about a blemished animal because look, in the Braisa, we were dealing with a chamor, we were dealing with a donkey, and so maybe the para in the Braisa is dealing with a blemished animal. So the chamor ba'mom nami ibailan. The Gemara says, yeah, but we asked the same question regarding the chamor, dabai rabba. Demei roshi legabe mizbeach. If let's say a person says that I want to give the value of my head to the mizbeach. And again, what he's trying to do is earmark a donation so that it could be used as a carbon. Now he chooses his own head. Okay, what's the value of his own head? Whatever it is. Whatever the market value of your own head is. So legabe mizbeach mahu. So what would be the halacha over there? Meaning that the question on the table now is that when he says he's going to be giving the value of his head, now obviously he himself, you can't get more of a baal mum to the mizbeach than you yourself. You're not going to be offered on the mizbeach. So here we're talking about you being a baal mum, you're donating the value of your head, and does that mean automatically that you're going to be giving the value of your entire body? So ki be'ilam yikamid de'ashma lehamas nisan, hashta de'sham lehamas nisan lo mi'ba'ilan. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. He did ask the question. But after having learned the Braisa together, we now know the answer. We know the answer is that when I'm being makdish something, earmarking it towards the Mizbeach, earmarking its value towards the Mizbeach, if it's a blemished animal, so then enachinami. So then your makdish, your consecration is only going on that limb, even if it's a vital limb, even if it's the head, and it's not going on anything else. Okay, let's quickly recap, because admittedly, that was a lot of information that was dropped very quickly. Let's quickly recap everything that we just basically said, and I'll hopefully organize it well. When we're talking about Bedek HaBayis, and you're talking about Erechin, so we have this concept of Nida Mechvodo, which means that if I want to give somebody's Erech, meaning I say his whole body, obviously then I have to give his Erech. If I'm going to say that I'm going to give the Erech of his thumb, or any extremity that he could live without, so it's nothing. If I'm going to say I'm going to give the erech of a person's head or any vital organ, so then I'm going to be on the hook of giving his erech. Why? Because of this principle of nidam bechvodo. And not only is that true regarding erech, it's also true regarding damim as well. If I'm principally offering money to the Bedek HaBayis, operating funds of the temple, and I'm going to be dedicating a person's vital organ, then we say nidom bechvodo, I'm going to be on the hook to give his entire value of his whole body. That's the principle of nidom bechvodo. Fine. And that's all as you're funding the money towards Bedek HaBayis. What about towards the Mizbeach? So here we have basically a division. If I'm being makdish the animal itself as a carbon, which is called Kedushas Mizbeach, if I'm being makdish the animal itself as a carbon, or I'll use the language the Gemara uses, Kedushas HaGuf. So then, if I'm being makdish just a leg of the animal, debatable as whether or not the kedusha spreads to the rest of the animal. Machlokas atanayim. If I'm being makdish the head of the animal, agreement. It's going to spread to the rest of the animal. Where is our very lengthy discussion and complicated discussion? Kedusha's damim. Where I'm being makdish the value of a vital organ, where its value is going to be earmarked towards the purchasing of a carbon. Okay. Under those circumstances, are we going to say that it's going to spread or it's not going to spread? So this is what we are discussing. If the animal is not qualified to be brought as a carbon, like a chamor, like an Eved Kenani, obviously it's not even an animal, it's a human, like myself, like a blemished para, so under those circumstances, it's only limited to the vital organ. It does not spread to the rest of the animal. Okay, that's it.
In terms of Makadisha Laguf, and somebody says part of this is going to be Ola, why is it not considered an impossible neder? Because we cannot, impossible neder doesn't take effect. So why is it not considered impossible neder? Because you cannot do a part Ola, part animal as Ola.
Right. Well, you can't ignore the idea of Pishut, meaning the idea is that the Kedusha does spread. As long as you're being makdish, a vital organ, so then it's going to spread to the rest of the animal.
In terms of the leg, for example, why is it not considered an impossible?
So fine, so it's not impossible, meaning there are opinions, we just learned them, that the leg itself is going to have kedusha. How does it work? I don't know. And the solution is selling it to somebody who wants, you know, a carbonola, but the leg already is invested with the kedusha. So it's admittedly, it's a funny solution, but that's the Gemara solution. Okay, Gufa. With all this in mind now, so the Gemara is going to ask you a couple of questions before we finish with the sugya by Rabba Demei Roshi Legabi Mizbeach Mahu. Okay. I want to give the value of my head Legabi Mizbeach. So, obviously my head is not going on in the Mizbeach. Obviously it's just the value of my head going on to the Mizbeach, meaning I'm earmarking whatever my head's value is to go to the Mizbeach. So, Nido Mechvodo and Nido Mechvodo. So the Gemara says, so are we going to have the principle of nidah mechvod, meaning how much am I on the hook for? Am I on the hook for just the value of my head? Or am I on the hook for the value of my entire body? Now, lo ashkecham b'damim deinu nidah mechvodo. Now, look, obviously this is damim. So therefore, we have the principle of nidah mechvodo. Odim lo ashkecham l'gabe mizbech nidah mechvodo. On the other hand, who is the recipient of this money? Not Berek Abayis, the mizbeach. So now, it's confusing. On one hand, this is damim. We're talking about market value. On the other hand, the recipient is not the Berek Abayis, but rather the Mizbeach. So are we going to employ the rule of Nidah Mechvodo? Teku, the Gemara says, I really don't know. Because again, we are vacillating between the fact that it's damim, where we normally do say the principle of Nidah Mechvodo. On the other hand, the recipient is not Berek Abayis, but rather it's the Mizbeach. Okay, so teku. The Gemara says, okay. So we're stuck in the middle. By Rava, a similar question. Erki alai legabe mizbeach mahu. Let's say I'm going to give my erech, but I'm earmarking that money to be used for the mizbeach. And once again, it's going to basically be the same thing. We are now in between two different principles, two different concepts. On one hand, we are an erech, and on the other hand, the recipient is the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sorry, the mizbeach. So nidam be'hesegyad or inu nidam be'hesegyad. So here now, are we going to have the special assessment? On one hand, lo ashkecham be'erchin de'i nidam be'hesegyad. On one hand, I use the word erchin, and there you get special assessment with erchin, as we're going to be discussing in detail in this mesechta. We already touched on the principle earlier. Odilma lo ashkecham l'gabe mizbech demifrek ela b'shavyav. On the other hand, where did you say that money's going to? You said the money's going to the mizbeach. Wait one second. Erchin and special assessment is when the money is headed towards Berek Abayis. Over here, the recipient is not Berek Abayis, but rather the Mizbeach. So maybe no Hesegyad over here. Teku, Gemara leaves this question unresolved. And by Ravashi, Hiktish Asada Achsteh Achuzel Lagabi Mizbeach Mahu. And one more of these types of questions, where you're basically in between two different categories. I'm going to be Makdish my field. Now, under normal circumstances, when you consecrate your field, which is going to also be a big discussion in this Masechta coming up later on. So if you're Makdish De'achuz, an ancestral field, so the redemption is based on a fixed purchase price. The Torah gives a fixed amount of how much you're going to be redeeming it for. It's going to be based on the size of the land, how many years we are until Yovel. But in terms of its redemption value, it's not going to be based on market value, but on a fixed price. On the other hand, I'm earmarking the money. I don't want the money to go to Berek Abayis. I want the money to go to the Mizbeach. And so now, here we are now, where this person is in between two worlds. In one world that he lives in, where he's Makdish his ancestral land, fixed redeemable price. On the other hand, that normally is when the recipient is the Berek Abayis. Here, he is earmarking the funds where the recipient is not going to be Berek Abayis, but rather it's going to be the Mizbeach. Now what? Mi amrin l'ashkechan steachuz ha-demifrik ha-ela be'zera chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. On one hand, whenever you are consecrating ancestral field, there is a fixed value of how much you redeem it for, and it's not market value. On the other hand, when you're telling me that the proceeds are going towards the Mizbeach, when the proceeds go to the Mizbeach, so how do you redeem? Dollar for dollar value. Because those dollars are going to go towards the Mizbeach. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question also unresolved. Okay, so ends our first sugya of the morning. Questions regarding a person who is giving a value to the Beis HaMikdash of a vital organ of somebody, or it doesn't even have to be somebody, could be an animal as well, and whether or not we have the concept of nidom b'chvodo, where the rest of the person goes along with the vital organ. And we say that when it comes to erchim, when it comes to damim, the answer is yes. We have this principle of nidom b'chvodo. And the extension of how far we're going to go with this principle of nidom b'chvodo is basically what the Gemara has been discussing for the first half of today's daf. Okay. Yes.
How do you jump from kedusha damim to kedusha haguf? If I take an animal and I'm saying this, I want its erech to go to the mizbeach. So that's damim.
No.
Yeah, you know, I want the value of this animal to go to the mizbeach.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Ask me after, and I'll try to clarify even better afterwards. Okay, pachas me ben chorish nida avol nerach. A simple mishnah, a quick mishnah, and the point of the mishnah is as follows. Okay, I've not together with you read the psukim in the beginning of Perach of Zayin of Vayikra. I strongly encourage you to do so. It's eight psukim. It's not a lot of homework. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. And in those eight psukim, so the Torah basically outlines what's the schedule. Meaning, if I want to give an erech of somebody, myself or anybody else, so how much money am I on the hook for? So it's very simple. Find out gender, find out age, open up a chumash, and it's pretty straightforward. There are, in terms of money that you give, it depends on his age bracket. Age brackets go from 1 month to 5 years, 5 years to 20 years, 20 years to 60 years, and then 60 years and above. Okay, those are your brackets. And then in terms of gender, so you look it up in terms of gender, male or female, and then you'll see how much you're on the hook for. And it ranges anywhere from 3 shkalim. Oh, you have it right here. And it ranges anywhere from 3 shkalim to 50 shkalim. Fine. And later the Gemara is going to spend more time with the numbers. Right now I don't want to focus on the numbers. The point is as follows. What is the first age bracket? It's from 1 month until 5 years of age. What if, let's say, my friend just had a newborn baby and I want to honor them. And so I write in this week's weekly. So I'm dedicating myself to give the erech of my friend's newborn. Happens to be my friend's newborn is now, let's say, 2 weeks old. Okay, great. So what does that make me out to be? Makes me out to be uneducated. I am. I'm just simply uneducated. Meaning there is no erech for an infant that's under a month old. So now, what if I commit myself to give the erech of a two-week-old? What would be the halacha? So the Mishnah says, no erchin, because he's not yet in the age bracket.
Why don't we treat the same with the ola? So this is, you know, like the same thing. So you have the whole thing. You cannot have part of the animal for ola.
Yeah, but he's not. I'm confused.
Like you said, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
For ola, you cannot have a part of
animal. But it can. You say it can't, but the Gemara says it can. All right? Start with the Gemara. Okay. So the pachus mi ben chodesh nidar avalo nerach. Now the nidar, meaning can it be the subject of damim? Of course. Meaning damim is market value. Okay, so the two-week-old has market value. I know, it's a little bit uncomfortable talking about, you know, trafficking humans, but we're not talking about trafficking humans. We're talking about just simply its market value, which leads to trafficking humans, but okay. Everyone has a market value.
I can't stand.
What?
I cannot stand. Cannot stand to be assessed.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay. So the so pachos mi ben chodesh, so if I'm now, so with my infant that's under a month old, so nidar avalon erach. So market value, sure. Erchin, no. So fine. And that means now that even though I made a big stink about how I'm going to be giving the erach of this two-week-old, and I posted in the weekly, so when all said and done, I don't have to give any money. And is that correct? I mean, what is that correct? I mean, the Mishnah said it, but it's going to be subject to a machlokas. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara opens up with a brisa, Amarich pachus mi ben chodesh. So let's say I commit myself to give the erech of an infant who's under a month old. Remeir omer nosein damav. So Remeir says, well, you have to give its market value, meaning it's not its erech because there is no erech, but you have to give its market value. V'chachamim omer lo amar klum. And the chachamim say, no, you're not on the hook for anything. Now, b'maika mifligi, Remeir sever ein adam osi dvar v'levatali odeh she'en erchen l'pachus mi ben chodesh v'gamar v'am l'shem damim. Now, what's behind the sheet of Remeir? So the Gemara explains beautifully. Remeir holds that people mean things. Even though what they say sounds like a little bit of nonsense, but we're going to make sense out of nonsense. Rav Meir is always of the position that we just have to figure out what he meant. Meaning when the person says that he wants to give the erech of a two-week-old, he must have meant that he wants to give its value, its market value. I know he said erech, but he didn't mean it. Because there is no such thing as an erech of a two-week-old. But he meant that he wants to give its market value. So Rav Meir is in the business of reinterpreting a person's sentence so that it's meaningful. Because people don't say things that are meaningless. What's the Chachamim's counter argument? People say nonsense. Are you worried about people saying nonsense? Look, it happens. People say nonsense.
Rabbi Meir also assumes that everybody's knowledgeable.
No.
Rabbi Meir assumes that he knows that Derech is not, he has to know that. Derech doesn't exist for less than 1 month, so it means value.
No, it doesn't. The person does not have to be knowledgeable. He meant something. He meant something. He didn't just simply say it to be nonsensical, to be flippant. He meant something. So we're going to reinterpret, not because he knows better, but because we know better. Okay. Kemanas lahad amar Rav Gidol amar Rav. Ha'amar erech kli alai nosin damen. Now let's say after having a wonderful breakfast, I looked at that cereal bowl and I say, you know what? That cereal bowl, I really liked it. I want to give the erech of that cereal bowl to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so Rav says, okay, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to give its market value. Now, you didn't say damim. You said erech. Okay? You still have to give its damim. That's the statement of Rav. Now, Rav being the Amora Rav. Who is he subscribing to? And the answer is Rav Meir. Now, Pshita, and the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious to Rav Meir, Asya? I think we could have figured that out. The Gemara says, not necessarily. No, I could have made the argument that that even subscribes to the opinion of the Chachamim. How? Look, when it comes to making the statement of I'm going to give the erech of that two-week-old, so it's a mistake, but it's an understandable mistake. Meaning, look, he knows that human beings are subject to erechin. Okay, so what difference does it make whether he's 5 weeks old or 2 weeks old? It's all the same, right? Now, he's wrong. But in other words, but there it's a mistake and it's one that we can explain. In other words, but if he's talking about the erech of a cereal bowl, like don't we all know? Now again, we talk about things that people know, right? I would say that, you know, for the unlearned, erechin is like a world they know nothing about. But if you're familiar with Chumash, you know that erechin apply to humans. There's no erech when it comes to a cereal bowl. And meanwhile, so the person says, I want to give its erech. So here, the Gemara is arguing, even the Chachamim, aren't they going to, at one point or another, going to reinterpret what he meant? Because he didn't mean Erech. So, v'amar l'shem damim. And what he must have meant is that he wants to give its market value. So, kamash malan. So, the Chiddush is that, no. That the Chachamim always subscribe to the idea that people say nonsense. People say things. And it doesn't have to make sense. And so, therefore, according to the Chachamim, flatly, we're going to say that a person could just simply say a thing, he lets it fly, and it doesn't have to make sense, and if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense, period. And according to the Chachamim, we're never in the business of reinterpreting a sentence. So the Gemara says, okay, so the erech of a cereal bowl is all for the purpose of Rav Meir. What's the Chiddush? Meaning, we know that according to Rav Meir, he's in the business of reinterpretation. So what new thing did we learn? So as we are now in the top of Hamad Beis, Ma'u Detema. Taima, the Rav Meir, Hasam Degazer Pachos Mi Ben Chodesh Atu Ben Chodesh Avahach Adalek Alamigzarei Malo, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, look, here's what I would have thought. If all I had was Rav Meir regarding Erechin, I could have said very simply, it's not a function of reinterpretation, it's a function of Gzeira. This time I was being Makdish a 2 week old. Next time I'll be Makdish a 5 week old. And people don't really see the difference, other than, of course, one's under a month and the other one's over a month. But people may not see the difference, so therefore make a gzeira. That's how we could have understood Rav Meir. Now that we have the case of the cereal bowl, so now we know. It's all about reinterpretation. A person does not make meaningless statements, and so therefore we have to reinterpret what he said so that's meaningful. So, Kamash Malan, that's the Gemara's point. Time of the Rav Meir, Deina Demotzi Dvar V'Levatala, Loshnahacha V'Loshnahacha. That is really behind the opinion of Rav Meir. One more comment to solidify our understanding of Rav Meir. Kamanas lahad amar Rav bar Yosef amar Rav amila amar Rav yeba bar Yosef amar Rav. Another statement attributed to Rav. Hamakdish meimus chaver nosin dameha. Let's say I want to be makdish your animal. Now, rule number one when it comes to being makdish, it has to be yours. It cannot be makdish somebody else's. If I may give an example, that is very, very simple and very clear. Right? I want to donate not my car to the shul. I want to donate your car to the shul. Okay? How about that? Okay? I'm generous. Ah, okay. Wait. So obviously you can't do that. You can't be makdish something that does not belong to you. So I made the statement. I said, I'm going to be makdish your animal. Now, what are we going to do? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, here's what we're going to do. You're going to figure out how much the value is of that, and you're on the hook for that value. Meaning we're going to make sense out of your nonsensical statement. Oh, you're right. You're not. Your friend's animal does not belong to Hekdesh, but you obviously wanted to give its value, and therefore you're on the hook for its value. Okay. And by the way, with all these examples, you see, like, right, when you take Rav Meir to his conclusion, even though it's a logical conclusion, it comes right. It comes out with really heavy consequences. Meaning, you couldn't make the argument. I was just making a joke. And according to Rav Meir, no. We always assume that you meant you had meaning and intent behind your statement. No, you're on the hook. Right, everything. So Keman Kareb Meir. So Ha Amar Rav Chadazimna. Now the Gemara says, and now this is a statement attributed to Rav, but we knew this already. The Amar of Gidol Amar Rav Ha'Amar Erech Kliya Laino Sin Dama. Meaning, what is it? How is this any different than our cereal bowl? So the Gemara says, look, because over there, but when it comes to the cereal bowl, so we know that there's no erich to that, and he meant something else, and we'll reinterpret. But over here, Ava Behema, the Bas Mikdash He. When it comes to an animal, you know, in principle, I could be makdish an animal. Now, I know the problem. The animal's not mine. It belongs to my friend. But ikal amemer dahachi kamar. But maybe this is what he meant. I amin ala lamar imazmin le niale etik tishle mehashta v'akrava. Well, maybe, just maybe, if I tell him that I want to be makdish his animal, it'll incentivize it to sell to me. Aval demelo kamar. But he didn't really mean that he wants to give its value. Meaning he really wanted to bring that animal as a karban. And by him being makdish the animal, now I'm putting it in air quotes, because of course it's not hekdish, it doesn't belong to him. But by him telling his friend that he wants to be makdish it, it'll incentivize his friend to sell it to him. Okay, maybe that's what he meant. Kamash malan. So the chiddush is that no, that's not the interpretation. But rather the correct interpretation is that he wants to give the value of that animal to the base of mikdash, he's on the hook for its value. Now Amar Rav Ashi, on this, the Gemara adds one small proviso. That's only when he says Hare Alai. I take it upon myself to give that animal to the base of Mikdash. So when he uses that language of Alai, that includes now recourse. That's personal liability. And so therefore, that means now that the correct interpretation is he wants to give the value of that animal. The animal itself is totally unaffected. It doesn't belong to him. But he's now on the hook to give the value of that animal. If he says Zoo, so even now we have hit the limits of Rav Meir and our ability to reinterpret. Because what does the word zoo mean? That animal is going to be a carbon. Only that animal, nothing else. And I'm not taking upon myself any kind of personal liability. So when he says the word zoo to an animal that does not belong to him, even according to Rav Meir, like we've hit the end. Like that's the end of the road. Like we're not going to reinterpret under those circumstances. Okay. One more sugya to start with this morning. It goes well into tomorrow's daf, but we're going to start it now. And that is the following. Non-Jews and Erchin. Okay, where are non-Jews and Erchin? So they're somewhere in the middle. Now, how can you be in the middle? Okay, so what's going to be very clear is the following. A non-Jew is somewhat included in Erchin and somewhat excluded in Erchin. And what is open for the debate, and we're going to see it right now in the Mishnah, is where they included and when they excluded by Erchin. Now by Erchin, there are two sides to Erchin. The Ma'arich, the one making the donation, and the Ne'arach, the subject of the donation. So, a non-Jew is included on which side of that equation? Machlokas. So according to Rav Meir, can be the subject of Erchin. So if I want to now dedicate a non-Jew's Erech to the base of Mikdash, I'm obligated. But lo marich. But he can't be marich. He can't actually make the donation. Rabbi Yehuda omer marich avalo nerach. Now Rabbi Yehuda goes in the other direction. Marich avalo nerach. He can make the donation, but he can't be the subject of the donation. Now, as far as market value is concerned, so a non-Jew wants to give market value of anything, either they're pledging it or they're the subject of it. Again, market value, everyone's got market value. But in terms of erchin, they're on one side of erchin, either marich or nerich, but not both, and a machlokus, which side they're on. Okay, what's that machlokus predicated on? The Gemara is going to open up the door and explain. Tanu Rabbanan b'nei Yisrael ma'arichim enof de'kochav ma'arichim yachol lo yeh na'arachim tamalomer ish. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says on one hand the Parsha opens up with the words b'nei Yisrael, limiting the halach of erchin to Jews. On the other hand, the Parsha also uses the words ish, which is expanding it and including even non-Jews. So therefore, they are included in being na'arach, the subject of erchin, but they can't be ma'arich. Amar Rav Meir, now the obvious question is, well, why did you decide one over the other? Amar Rav Meir, v'chim me'achash ha-mikra echen marbe, mikra echen mame. One pasuk is including, the other one is excluding. Mimnei mani omer ne'arach v'lo ma'arich. How come we're putting the non-Jew on the side of ne'arach and not ma'arich? Mimnei shariba kasa b'ne'arachin, yoser mi b'ma'arichin. Consider, where is the population bigger? On the ma'arich side or on the ne'arach side? So the Gemara says on the Nerach side. This is Rav Meir's argument. Why? Because consider that there's a large segment of the population, Kitanim, which is, you know, all the children, underage, and Cheresh and Shota. Now, admittedly, they're not a large segment of the population, but still, a lot of people are on the Nerach side. You can all give the Erech of these people, but they themselves cannot be Ma'arech. So you see that there are more Ne'arachim than there are Ma'arichim. So therefore, when I have the non-Jew and I know he's on one side of them, I'll put him on the side where there are more people. So then Rabbi Yehuda, Omer b'nei Yisrael, Ne'arachim, Enov de'kochavim, Ne'arachim, Yachol lo yeh Ma'arichim, Tamalam, or Ish. Now Rabbi Yehuda goes in the exact opposite direction. Again, he starts off with the fact that the Torah gives us a limitation, b'nei Yisrael. The Torah also gives us an expansion of Ish. But he goes in the other direction where the non-Jew is included in the Ma'arichim side of it, but not Ne'arachim. Now the obvious question: what's Rav Yehuda thinking? I'm Rav Yehuda. V'chi me'achash mikra echad marba mikra echad mamai mimnei ma'ani omer ovi kochav marich v'lo ne'arach. So why am I putting him on the marich side, not on the ne'arach side? Mimnei shariba akasav ben marichin yoser mi ben ne'arachin. Because he's going to argue the exact opposite. I have more people on the marich side. Why shari tumtum ba'jogonos marichin v'lo ne'arachin? Because consider all of our people who are gender confused, either unknown or both, tumtum and jogonos. So, can they be ma'arich? The answer, of course, is yes. Can they be ne'arach, the subject of erchin? The answer, of course, is no. Because for ne'arach, you either be either male or female, but not in between. Not in between.
It's Matthias Machlokes as to which population is bigger.
Ah. So, Amar Rava, Gemara is going to help us out with your exact question. Amar Rava, Hilchasa de Rebbe Meir, Mistabra, Hilchasa de Rebbe Meir, Mistabra, Taimala, Mistabra. So Rava says, look, who are we going to follow in terms of halacha? We should follow like Reb Meir. Which position makes more sense? Reb Yehuda. Time of the Reb Yehuda, Mistabra, Hilchasala, Mistabra. Now, isn't that confusing? Right? Reb Yehuda makes more sense, but we're going to follow like Reb Meir. Of course. Now, Hilchasa de Reb Meir, Mistabra, Dichsiv. Now, as far as which way we're going to follow in terms of halacha, so we're going to let Psukim in Tanakh direct us in terms of which one we're going to follow. We come back into Eretz Yisrael after 70 years of exile in Bavel. Small group of people, 42,000 in total, building the second temple. And Israel was not desolate. It was occupied. There were people, non-Jews living in Israel, and they went over to Ezra, and specifically here in this particular context, they go over to Nehemiah, and they say, hey, would you mind if we contributed towards the building of your temple? So non-Jews are offering us money to build help us build Bayis Sheni. What's our response? Well, it's right here in the Navi. The Gemara quotes it. Lo lachem v'lanu livnos bayis elokeinu. No. In other words, we're not going to be taking donations from you to build the Beis Hamikdash.
They took donation from Darius.
They got permission from Daryavish.
They gave money too, no? The gate and so on, Shushan and...
Well, hold on a second. There's much more to discuss on this. Okay, we're right now just starting. So we said no. Nehemiah said no. So that means to say that the halacha is lo ma'arichin. We don't take donations from non-Jews. Now, taima lo mistabra. Now, in terms of the svaras, which svaras are better? Meaning, remember, they were arguing about which population is bigger. The Nerech population is bigger, the Marech population is bigger. Now, who's in the Nerech population? So, in the Nerech population, you have Cherishot Vekatan. On the Marech population, who did you have extra? Tumtum and Androgynous. So, as David asked just a moment earlier, are they arguing about which population is bigger? The Gemara says no. And what Rav Yehuda's argument is as follows. I'm with you. Cherishot v'katan is a larger population. I mean, you're talking about all the children. That's clearly a larger population. But here's where I disagree. Don't even discount them. Or, right, don't count them as part of the population. The reason why they're not included in Erchin is because they don't have cognitive ability. So they're not discounted from the Marich side because something is fundamentally flawed with them, or it has to do with the fact that they're just simply NA, it's not applicable. They're not being Marich because they don't have Das, they don't have the cognitive ability in order to do any kind of transaction. So in terms of now weighing the scale of who's more, who has more on their team, so clearly the Marich who has Tumtum and Androgynous on their side, so they clearly are more. I agree with you, Cherishot Vekatan is on the Nerech side. But the only reason why they're not on the Marich side is because they don't have the Das, they don't have the requisite cognitive ability in order to make these kinds of transactions. So we're really left with only Tumtum and Androgynous being the extra, so to say. And they're on the Marich side, so put the non-Jew on the Marich side as well. Okay, so what we have now is a really interesting split between which position is more logical, which position we follow. The position more logical, Rabbi Yehuda. The position we follow, Rabbi Meir. Now why? So the svara the Gemara just gave. And the reason why we're going to follow Rabbi Meir is because the Pesukim in Nechemia, in Ezra Nechemia. So time to Rabbi Yehuda, Mistabba, Dekam, Isi, Lay, Tum, Tum, Vajogon, Astafagav, Dibnei, Din, Dea, Ninu, Mi, Atina, Rachmana. Look, the Tumtum Androgynous, they're B'nai Das. They have cognitive ability. And the only reason why they're not included in Erechin from the Ne'erach side is because the Torah says they're excluded. Fine. So clearly now, the argument favors Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Halacha does not. So, Hilchol HaMestabit Echsiv Lo Lachem V'lanu Livnos Beis Elokeinu. Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Lo Lachem V'lanu Mai Avid Lei. And so the obvious question, if you're Rabbi Yehuda, he knows Nach. Right? Can't say the same for me. But Rabbi Yehuda knows Nach. And so what is he going to do with that pasuk in Ezra Nechemia? So Amar of Chista, Amar of Vime, the Erko Nignaz. So what he's going to argue is the following. Is that, no, they could be Marich, but then what we're going to do is we're going to take their donation and we'll just simply bury it. Okay. So Elamiato lo yimalobo. So the Gemara says, really? So then... it shouldn't be subject to Mila. Did not we learned in the Mishnah? Chamish chataos amesos, umaos hahochos liyam amelech, lo nenev velo moalin. If I have a chatas which has to be disposed of, there are five different chataos that need to be disposed of. We're going to be talking about this in detail as we get through we get to the next mesechta. But in the meantime, however, when it comes to these five discarded chataos and their monies, so which are going to be disposed of, the monies are going to be sent to Yam HaMelech, so you cannot get benefit from it, and it's not subject to Me'ila. Why is it not subject to Me'ila? Because when it comes to a carbon, the only thing that's subject to Me'ila is a carbon that's fit to be put on the Mizbeach. So, Alama Tanya Gabi Kachi of Dekochavim, Bamed Vamamur Bekachi Mizbeach, Ava Bekachi Bedekabais Mo Alim Bahen. When it comes to the money being offered by a guy, is as long as it's going to go to Bedek HaBayis, so then it's subject to Me'ila. Meaning, money is being donated by a non-Jew for Bedek HaBayis is in fact going to be now considered Bedek HaBayis money, and therefore going to be subject to Me'ila. So, what bothers us is the following. Meaning, that earlier, we said that can the guy be... Can the guy donate? So according to Rav Yehuda, the answer is fundamentally yes. But what we do is we take the money and we put it in Geniza. Mm-hmm. We put it in Geniza. The Gemara says, but meanwhile, we learned together that the money being donated by a guy for Bedek Abayis purposes is subject to Me'ila, meaning that the money is in fact considered donated money. It is acknowledged as donated money. Ella Amar Rava. So what we're looking for is the following. We rejected the money being offered by the non-Jews in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Why did we reject it? And what we're arguing right now is it's not because it is not a donation. It is, in fact, considered a donation. It is considered Bedek HaBayis money. In fact, we just learned together that it's subject to Me'ila. So why are we taking the money and what are we doing saying no? Ela Amarava Mishum Rifyon Yadaim Hu Dechsiva Yom Arts Merafin Yadei Am Yehuda Umevalin Osam Livnos. So the Gemara says it really is, our no had nothing to do with the status of the money. But our no had to do with basically the politics of the time. Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Mishum Rifyon Daim Mishum Shelo Hayu Miskavn Latova. Because when they came over, the locals, and they offered to help us build the temple, so they said, oh, you know what? Count on us. We're going to be helping. We're going to be donating to the cause. We'll be donating to the temple. El Sheyismichu Gam Alehem Vishmu Leitzasam. So now, being on the hook for, let's say they offered $5 million towards the building of the temple. We're good for it. We're telling you right now. And then, as the construction workers started hitting the site and they started wanting to get paid, so now we went to them and we're going to ask them for money, and they're going to say, oh, you know what? Our money right now is tied up. Just wait a little bit longer. And all they were doing was just stalling tactics. Rashi writes this. V'yishmu leitzasam v'hem ya'achru ha'binyan. And they're going to delay the building. Ashi asibos lev koresh shelo livnoso. And then eventually what's going to happen is they're going to go back to Koresh, and they're going to say during the delay, you know, Koresh, I know you gave him permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. Do me a favor. Like, no. In other words, and all it was delaying tactics just so that they have time, enough time to help themselves influence Koresh to stop the whole process altogether. So our no to them, to the locals, had nothing to do with the status of the money. The money may in fact be donatable, and not only donatable, but really property of Bedek HaBayis, subject to Me'ila. But the reason why we said no is just because we knew that their intentions were not good, but just the opposite, their intentions were bad. Okay, let's recap today.
When the Palestinians took over the Aron HaKodesh, they sent it back with gifts, and the gifts were accepted, no?
Is the Gemara going to go there? Gemara is going to hit a couple of topics. No, the Gemara is not going to go there. Okay. That needs a little bit of analysis. Anyway, let's recap for today. Okay, today we started off a little bit challenging. We talked about the concept of nidam b'chvodo, that when doing erchin or damim of a person, and you chose to donate a vital organ, so really you're going to be on the hook for his entire body. This is the concept of nidam b'chvodo, and it got a little bit tricky because we made distinctions between donating towards Bedek HaBayis versus kedushas mizbeach. Versus damim lemizbeach, the three categories of how I can donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara, our second big topic for today, was when a person makes a statement that is nonsense. He's going to give the erech of some of an infant that's under a month old. So is that statement going to be honored? So machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim say that people just say nonsensical things and we could just simply ignore his statement and it's not going to have any value. Rav Meir is open to the idea of reinterpretation because ein adam motzei devar levatala. A person does not say things that are nonsense. He must have meant something. We're going to reinterpret what he meant, what he most probably meant, and then he is going to be on the hook based on that. Our third big topic for today was Gaim and Erchin. Where are Gaim in terms of Erchin? So they're on one side of Erchin. Either they're on the Marach side or on the Nerach side. Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara takes a really interesting split where even though Rav Yehuda's position is more, the Gemara described as more logical, more sensible, in that there are more people on the Marech side of Erechin. Our Tumtum and Androgynous are included on the Marech side, even though they're not included on the Nerech side. And so therefore, if we're going to put Ovi Kochavim on one of the two, we should put them on the Marech side. On the other hand, we have to balance that with the fact that in Ezra Nehemiah, so when the Gaim offer to make donations to the Beis HaMikdash, we simply said no. And what's behind that no? So it could be a halachic consideration, but the Gemara says, but it could also be a political consideration as well. So right now we are somewhere in between where the guy should belong. Should he belong on the Marach side or on the Nerach side?